It was awesome. Oh my goodness. How's everybody doing? That's when everyone says something. You can be honest and say you're bad. How's everyone doing? Are you guys ready for what God has for us today? Okay, at least one of us is. You can laugh. It's been a crazy journey over the past couple weeks. I am ready for this. But I'm also not ready because it's been very humbling, and we're going to talk about stuff that is close to my heart, close to all of our hearts. But before we do anything, we're going to pray because we need God. We need God to be a part of this. So let's go to Him right now. Lord, we love You so much. That's why we're here. We're here this morning because we love You. We want Your name to be known because we know that there's life in it. There's something special in the name of Jesus. We want to lift Your name high, God, and we want people to know not only who You are, but that a relationship with You is real, it's obtainable, and it's life-changing. So God, I pray that everything that's spoken this morning is from You. I pray that it's nothing that I want to say. It's not from me, God, it's from You. I pray that You will soften our hearts. I pray that you will prepare us for truth and what You will have us hear. I pray You will remind us that You're with us in the journey when we want to apply that knowledge to our life. God, I ask that Your Holy Spirit will guide all of this, God. We love You, we need You, and I pray that this is honoring to You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, so my original intention for today was like, I was going to come in full force, right? This was going to be intense. I was like, I'm speaking to the dudes. I'm speaking to the men, right? And I was going to come in high intensity, right? It was going to be motivational. I was even going to probably reference King Leonidas in 300. That's how crazy it was going to get. But in preparing for it, God was like, I got something different planned. And He changed things a few times. And it was really humbling. He showed me something in my life that I needed to see, and it was super hard. And I'm still working through it, but the hope that's come from it, I want to share. Because the hope found in Jesus is like anything else you're going to experience in life. All right, so my intention was, I'm going to speak to men, but not just men, strong men. But strong men that don't know they're strong, because of something that's happened to them in their life. And then in thinking through this, I'm like, that's all of us, right? That's all of us. We've all experienced something that's changed us. But I am going to make reference to the men, and I'm going to go back to the men at times as I talk through this, because as men, God has called us to lead. So the onus does fall on us. So I'm going to go back to you guys, us, and I'm going to call us out a few times. So be prepared for that. But this is for all of us, not just men, women, children, myself, all of us, we need to hear this. Because we've all been through something. We've all been through experiences. We've all had people in our life that have changed us or hurt us. All right, maybe it was a one-time experience that changed us forever. Or maybe it was something on the level of like a parent or a grandparent or a family member. That's not just a one-time thing. That's a journey. All right? And that might take the rest of your life. It's going to be another journey, maybe the rest of your life, for you to heal or forgive from that journey or even that one-time thing. But the thing we need to take from these people in our lives and these experiences that we experience is that all of these people and experiences, they're all competing to answer questions that we all ask. Every one of them, among many other voices in our life. So before we get into that, men, are you ready for this? Yeah, be ready. We're going to talk about, briefly, the last verse of the Old Testament. Okay, so we have the creation story, right? Everything's created. God's doing amazing things. We have the Old Testament, all the way up to the last verse of Malachi. Then we have 400 years of silence. People are praying, God, are You still there? God, do You care? Then Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and then the New Testament. We're going to go to Malachi 4:6. I'm assuming we're working. There, look at this. Killing it, James. Killing it. All right. So, right here, Malachi 4:6. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of what? Utter destruction. Yeah, no one really wants to scream utter destruction, right? We're all like, yeah, utter destruction. It's going to happen. Okay, we're gonna see why it's going to happen. So this is God talking, right? And he's like, hey, listen, one day I'm going to send somebody. And we know now that that's Jesus. He's saying, hey, I'm gonna send somebody, all right? And he will turn. So Jesus will turn the hearts of what? Fathers to their children. So Jesus is going to do a work in the heart of men. Okay, and what happens if they don't listen? Because this is what this verse is telling us. God's saying, hey, I'm going to send somebody one day, and this is what he's going to do. And if we don't listen, this is what's going to happen. And if we listen, this is what's going to happen. So he, Jesus, will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. He's going to do the work, a work in the heart of men. But what happens if we don't listen? Lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Things fall apart when men don't listen to what God says about them. Look at everything. Look at the world today. Broken families, divorces, children hurting. There is utter destruction. Men, listen to what God has to say about you. And I'm not saying no one in here is. Don't think of this as like a accusatory. You know, I'm not accusing people. You know, I'm telling you what God is saying through Malachi 4:6. But what happens if men do turn their hearts to who God says they are? If men know what God says about them, and we believe it, and then we live out of that truth about what God says about us, and we live out of that truth of what God has entrusted to us, and then out of that, we live out of that, and we turn our hearts back to our wives, we turn our hearts back to our families, we turn our hearts back to what God has entrusted us with. That's when change happens. That's when healing begins. All right, so Malachi 4:6, we're going to keep this in mind. Let's pay attention to what God says about us. Because if we don't, we're going to spend our whole life searching, hoping, and trying to answer questions that we all ask every single day. And I could say this for everybody, but I can specifically speak to men, I know for a fact, being one and talking to many men throughout my life and knowing that we all struggle with three questions every day we're trying to answer. The first one, who am I? What's my identity? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And am I even good enough? What's my worth? We get out of bed every day trying to answer these questions. Maybe we do it consciously, maybe we do it subconsciously, but we're all trying to find the answers to these questions. Jesus has the answer. If we connect with him, we'll find the answer to all these questions. But if we don't, then we're left on our own to figure it out. If we don't turn to Jesus to answer these questions, then we're left to our own, what we find. But who's qualified to answer these questions if it's not Jesus? Who's qualified? Because everyone's trying to tell us. There is not a shortage of people trying to tell us who we are, why we're here, and if we're good enough. And if we're being honest, we've all bought a sales pitch. We've all bought a line about who we are, why we're here, and if we're good enough. We've all done it. And all of these sales pitches, they've all played a significant role in most of the chaos and the frustration, pain, struggles in our life. But the reality is all these sales pitches, these empty marketing schemes, they promise fulfillment and joy, and they underdeliver every single time. But why why do we even buy a sales pitch? Like, why do we turn to something and we're like, okay, that's who I am. That's my identity. And again, guys, maybe it's not consciously, maybe it's subconsciously. We need to look at our lives. Maybe we bought it, maybe we bought the sales pitch from our parents. Maybe we bought it from something really good that happened in our life. Maybe we bought it from something really bad that happened in our life. But either way, we bought a sales pitch, and whatever we believe, that's how we live our life. That's how we love our wives. That's how we raise our children. That's where we point our money. That's how we use our bodies. That's how we use other people's bodies. So why do we even buy a sales pitch? Why? Because there's something, and be real, be honest with yourself. There's something inside of each one of us that we know. We're like, I'm supposed to be somebody. I'm supposed to do something with my life. I know I'm worth something. Each one of us feel that. And I would even build the case that something is the image of God, because in Genesis 1:27 it says that we were built in the image of God. So I would build the case that's God. But regardless of what you think on that, it's still fact that we all know deep down inside of us, I'm supposed to be somebody. I know I have some worth. I know I have some purpose. The whole time we're asking these questions, God's right here. And he's like, I know. Can I answer that for you? Please let me answer that for you. God wants to answer that. And it would be great if God was the only one speaking to us on that, right? But he's not. There's a million voices coming at us on every angle trying to answer these questions every day of our life. Everything and everyone's trying to tell you who you are, why you're here, and if you're good enough, what your worth is. So let me give you a story to help put this in perspective. My kids, right? My kids love to draw. They love to play Legos. Always doing one of the two. And whenever they're doing those things, my son's right here. I didn't know he's going to be here, so this is good. This dude loves to draw, right? So whenever they draw stuff, they'll be like, Dad, look at this. And I'm like, that's awesome, right? You know what they're not looking for? They're not looking for criticism. They're not looking for me like, that's not very good. I don't know why there's a tail on his toe and his eyes are on his butt cheeks. He said butt cheeks twice. So they're not looking for criticism. You know what they're looking for? You know what they're looking for when our kids come to us with that? They're looking for validation for what they already believe about themselves, that they're awesome. That's what they're looking for. Because I'll be like, dude, I'm awesome. You're a great drawer. And he's like, I know. And he's not cocky because he honestly believes that. Right? Or I think of my daughter. My daughter can climb like crazy, right? And granted, she's got three older brothers that are pushing her to do things that most three-year-olds don't do or shouldn't do. But she can climb like crazy. And she says she's a monkey. And every time she climbs, she goes, ooh, ooh, ah, right? And she'll get on the rock wall at the park, and she'll pass a six-year-old, and she gets up there, and she's like, ah! And I'm like, yes, that is awesome, right? And in that moment, she is the best rock climber in the history of rocks. That's her, right? And she's not cocky because she honestly believes it, all right? And I know part of us is like, oh, that's cute, yeah, but she's naive, right? She's inexperienced. She doesn't understand how the world works, and she'll be crushed and realize how life works one day. Okay, yeah, I get it. I agree with you, actually. There's truth in that, yeah. But I have a better way of putting it. I think she's a blank page. She's a blank page waiting to be written on. And over the next several months and years of her life, somebody is going to try to write on the page of her life and tell her who she is, what she's worth, and what her purpose is. And over the course of the next several years and decades, people and experiences are going to write on this page of her life. And she is going to turn to this page to find out who she is, what she's worth, and what her purpose is. And that's the same for all of us, not just her. People and experiences are writing on the page of our life. So my question to you is, who gets to write on their page? Who gets to write on your page? Who gets to write on your page? Because this page will answer these questions about who I am, what my purpose is, and am I good enough? You're going to look at this page and be like, well, who am I? Well, I think that's who I am. Well, what's my purpose? Why, this, maybe that too. What am I worth? Well, there's a lot of opinions on the matter, but I'm one of these. We're all living a life based on what is written on our page. And to flip it a little bit, we might be living our life trying to disprove what's written on our page because we don't agree with it. And this is where God humbled me. And this is where I'm going to be just open and honest as I can be with you guys. This was very hard as God showed me this. I came to the realization that this analogy kind of showed me something, right? My kids, as a man, as a father and as a husband, God has entrusted me with a wife and children, among others in my life, that I'm able to write on the page of their life. And I learned from Malachi 4:6 what happens if I don't listen to God, if I don't listen to what he says about me and about my children, about my wife, there'd be destruction, right? And it might not be like a building falling or something, guys. It might be a broken family or a child run astray or whatever. It looks different in every family, in every circumstance. But in my family, right now, this humbled me because I realized in this moment on Monday morning as I was preparing that I have written things on the page of my children's lives and the page of my wife's life that directly contradict what God says is right and true about them. And that's sad. In that moment, as I was humbled, God immediately gave me joy because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not guilt. The gospel of Jesus Christ is nothing but joy, pure joy, not just happiness. I have today, I have tomorrow, and who knows how many days after that God will bless me with to write on the page of my family's life. That's awesome. The bad things that I've done, the mistakes I have made, God has already forgiven me for. So what if my kids, what if my wife, what if us, what if we knew what God wrote on our page? What if we actually knew? But the thing is that, guys, we can know. It's right here, black and white. Pick up the Bible, read, find out. But there's more to it than just knowing what he says. Remember, we talked about wisdom. What is wisdom? It is knowledge rightly applied. So it's having knowledge, but it's also knowing when and how to use that knowledge. So just knowing what Jesus says about you isn't enough. Do you believe it? What if you believe what Jesus has written on your page? What if you knew? What if you believed? And what if you lived out of that truth, that what God says, this is who you are, this is your purpose, this is what you're worth? And then you live out of that confidence. Would it change anything? Your marriage, your relationships, how you raise children. Would any of that stuff change? So what we're going to do is we're going to get into our main text here that I bookmarked, and there's no bookmark. Thankfully, it's like 3 pages away, guys. We're going to be in Matthew 3. Right, I didn't lie. Yeah, Matthew 3, I didn't lie. All right, so listen, we're going to talk about one story. This is going to be one story about Jesus, and it's actually the first story of him as an adult. So we talked about, you know, that 400-year gap after Malachi going into the New Testament. So we have the Christmas story, right? Jesus is born. And you have the awesome story we all know about Christmas, and then there's a gap. You have like, 12 or 13 years, and then Jesus shows up as a 13-year-old. He's just hanging out with his parents, being a punk, right? Gets lost, causing trouble. Typical Jesus, right? Thanks for somebody laughing. I appreciate that. And then it ends with, and he grew up. And then there's another gap. And there's like 17 years of Jesus just hanging out, being a carpenter, building stuff, doing his thing. And then the next time we see him, he's 30 years old. And this guy just shows up out of nowhere in the middle of Israel at a river while his cousin's baptizing people. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When Jesus shows up, John the Baptist is hanging out, he's baptizing people, and he's telling people. He's telling people about what's going to happen. He's like, hey, listen, guys, listen. So God is going to send somebody, and he's going to fulfill a promise. You know the Old Testament, you know this, the prophets? So God's going to fulfill that stuff. He's going to bring somebody here to do that, and he's going to make it possible for us to reconnect with God. No matter what you've done in your past, no matter what you even think about yourself or what others think about you, he's going to make it possible. And if this is true, you might want to rethink your life. In the middle of this speech, Jesus shows up. So we're going to have baptism September, right? If you're interested, let us know. It's a celebration. We're briefly talking about Jesus' baptism, but I wanted to explain it because it's a little bit different than what we know about baptism. So baptism today for us is, it's an outward sign of an inward change, all right? It's us showing outwardly, symbolizing Jesus' blood washing away our sins, all right? Jesus' baptism is a little bit different because he didn't have sin, all right? So it's a little bit different than ours. First of all, it was an example for us, but second of all, in the culture at that time, when you were going into a new phase or a new section or a new season of life, you would go through this ceremonial washing. And when you came up out of that water, you were focused on a new mission, all right? A new purpose, one goal, and that's what you went towards. That's what's happening here. So as Jesus is coming out of the water, he has a new mission. He has one goal, and he's focused on that, and that's what he's going towards. So let's read Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. All right, so when Jesus was baptized, immediately he came up from the water. Behold, the heavens were open to him. What does that mean? I don't know. It could be tricky, right? We don't know. Did the sky part and God's like, hey, what's up, guys? Here I am. I'm God. I don't know. What I think is that reality was suspended momentarily. All right, and God said, hey, your guy's normal. I'm just going to do something abnormal really quickly. And this is what he does. He rests on Jesus, and he says, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. Jesus is about to go headfirst into the toughest mission in history. He is about to be beaten and destroyed, almost, right? Almost, for 3 years. He's about to pour out his life for everybody, doing everything for everyone and not asking for anything for himself. He's about to demonstrate to the world what God really says and feels about us. He's about to pick up all the broken people of the world that are thrown out, pick them up and say, I love you and I'm here for you. He's about to be betrayed, backstabbed. Nobody said thank you. And the thing is, he knew what he was signing up for. And before he takes one step into that direction, everything that I just described, God says, hold up, stop, time out. I want to say something to you. And what does he do? He makes three huge statements. He answers three huge questions. And he writes on the page of Jesus' life. Jesus was a man just like us. All right? He struggled with these questions just like everything else that we struggle with. That's why he's so relatable, because he was man. He wants to know, who am I? And what does God say? This is my Son. He wants to know, what am I worth? What does God say? I love you. And he wants to know, what is my purpose? With you, I am well pleased. Now, to help me define that, I did a little word study on that, because at first I'm like, well pleased. Well, that obviously just means he's pleased very well, right? But it means more, and I wanted to explain that to you. When God says, with you I am well pleased, this is what Jesus hears. He hears, there it is, God's heart is set on me, so he's focused on me. And he intends good for me, so he's going to protect me. And he will accomplish something good through me. That is the easiest way I could explain it as I studied well pleased. This is what Jesus heard. Can you guys imagine if we had that kind of clarity? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if God gave us this kind of clarity? Guys, your marriages, would anything change? Your marriage, your relationships, your family, how you raise your children, if you had this type of clarity. Man, I think, like, when we get married, right? You guys, many of you have been there. And you're standing in the back room, and you're getting ready for it, right? You might be nervous. And you're like, man, this is stressful. And there's a side door right there. I could totally just be out of here, right? I didn't think that, Renee. I was all in. But there's so much that goes through your head in that moment, right? You're like, man, this girl doesn't even really know me, does she? Like, there's so much I haven't told her. There's so much messed up with me. I'm gonna ruin this. Right? What if God just suspends reality as we know it in that moment and says, hey, stop. You are my son. I love you. And I'm going to make you the best husband, the perfect husband for her. And I'm going to be with you every day. We're going to get through it together. What if we had that clarity? Would that change anything? Think about when you guys had your first kid. Yeah, there's some nervous laughter. You bring that kid home, right? Everything's great in the hospital. Things go awesome, you know, and there's nurses there. Everything's helping. And then you and your spouse are like, all right, let's do this. We're going home. You put the kid in the car seat. You drive home. You get to the house. Put the kid in the car seat on the floor. He's sitting on the couch. And you're like, oh, no. Like, what now? What do we do? Craigslist? Like, what happens? What if God stopped in that moment and said, hey, whoa, stop. You are my son. You are my daughter. That is your child. I love you both. And I'm going to turn you into the best, the perfect parents for that child. It completely reminds me of when I... so funny that my cousin's here today because he's probably going to laugh out loud. When I had my daughter, which he reminds me constantly that, yes, I have a daughter. After having three boys, we just assumed we were going to have another boy, right? And God surprised us and blessed us with a daughter. And I was in shock, not going to lie. Didn't talk for a few hours. I was like, what's that? What's happening, right? And while Renee was in the hospital with her, I went home and I got the boys and I brought them back to the hospital to introduce, you know. I'm like, this is your sister. So they're hanging out. Renee needed a few things at home. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to shoot back, grab some stuff. I'll be back in like an hour. So I go home. I'm by myself, right? I walk in the door. And I was just crushed with this overwhelming sense of, oh my goodness, what? It was the first time I had a minute to myself since we had her. Guys, I'm not lying. I literally fell on my knees in my back room and cried. This is 3 years ago. And I'm still nervous, right? But in that moment, I fell to my knees and I cried. I said, God, I cannot do this. Up until that point in my life, I really had only viewed women in one way, and it was not an honoring way. I was not a good man before Jesus. I'm like, oh my goodness, how do I do this? I can't do this. What if God suspended time in that moment and said, Jake, stop. You are my son. I love you so much, and I am going to make you, grow you into the best, the perfect father for that little girl. It's not a coincidence that's your girl. It's on purpose. And we're going to do this together. What if we had that confidence, guys? Would it make a difference? If we asked ourselves this question, what if you believed that you could only get from God what you can only get for God? All right? If you can only get from God what you can only get from God, would that change how you view yourself? Would that make a difference? God wants to use all the parts of our life, all right? If we just know and then believe and then live out of that. But I'm not just talking about the good stuff, guys. God wants to use the bad stuff too, the messy stuff, the stuff that we might not be proud of. God wants to use all of these things to uniquely qualify you to do something in someone's life that only you are qualified for. And what uniquely qualifies you? Because nobody's gone through your cancer. Because nobody's lost their son, your son. Nobody's been beaten down like you've been beaten down. Nobody understands your life better than you do. And God wants to use all the parts of your life and redeem them to do something amazing in someone else's life. He wants to use all of it. Ladies, can you imagine? Can you imagine if the most significant man in your life, I don't know, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your father, maybe it's a boyfriend. Can you imagine if the most significant man in your life actually believed that he was God's son and that God loved him? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if he actually believed that and then he approached life with that confidence and that strength and that assurance? Would something change? You look across the dinner table at night and you're like, this dude actually believes that he's God's man. And he would put his life down for me, for my kids, for this family, because that's what Jesus did for him and he believes it. Would things change? The sad thing is we don't have to try to imagine very hard what it looks like when a man doesn't believe that. Because a lot of us have been run over by that man before. And a lot of us have been that man before. That man lives a life proving, trying to prove to himself, trying to prove to others that the things written on his page aren't true. He's trying to live his life proving that that stuff's not true. He wakes up every day trying to prove that. And he usually proves it on those closest to him. His wife, his kids, coworkers. That's painful. That's hurtful to watch happen. But what if that man actually agreed with what Jesus says about him? If you really believe that you can get from God what you can only get from God, does that change how you feel about yourself, how you see yourself? Because that is your identity, that's your worth, and that's your purpose. And identity, worth, and purpose drive everything. So how do you think Jesus sees you? Because that's your identity. How do you think Jesus feels about you? Because that's your worth. Now how do you think Jesus can use you? Because that's your purpose. Do you even think Jesus can use you? It ties back into your purpose. So as I close here, this is the last part. Let's just spend some time with God this week. And I was reading Prodigal Son. And we all know Prodigal Son, right? Story of a son who wants his inheritance from his father early. His father gives it to him and he runs away from home and he squanders it on lots of bad stuff. And then as he realizes he made a big mistake, he's trying to decide what his next step is. Luke 15:17 says that he came to his senses. So my paper Bible is an NIV. I like to read ESV, NLT sometimes. I just like to get different translations because for me that helps me get a better sense of things. So I happened to be reading ESV at the time, and instead of he came to his senses, it says he came to himself and he ran back to his father. And I'm like, say what? I'm like, came to himself? What does that mean? So I'm like, pray talking? I'm like, trying to figure out what this means, right? And I'm like, okay, he came to himself. He came to himself. He remembered himself. He remembered who he was. He remembered who he was, and he ran back to his father. That's what I got. He remembered who he was at that moment. And when he did, he said, man, I miss my dad. And ran back to him. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? And what's that based on? Well, who told you that, though? What's written on your page? What are you worth? Are you even enough to pull it off? He wants to answer this. He wants to answer all of these for us. And just knowing what he says isn't enough. That's the start. Believing it. And when you believe it, you begin to live out of that confidence, and that's when things change. Because like it or not, guys, there's a lot of people waiting on us to figure a bunch of stuff out. And we learned in Malachi 4:6 what happens when we're not going to listen or when we don't agree. Let's listen to God. Let's let Him, let God erase some of this trash that's been written on our page over the years. And let Him write some truth about who we are, about what our purpose is, and about what we're actually worth. Guys, I'm going to pray. Worship team and Dave, come up. Let me pray, guys. Lord, God, you love us so much. You love us so much. Lord, and whether we're the prodigal son, it's been a while since we've been in your presence, or maybe we've been near to you for a while. No matter what it looks like, God, we have to remind ourselves of what you've done for us on the cross. And that's what we're going to do right now with communion, God. Lord, we all struggle with these questions. We want to know who we really are. We want to know what our real purpose is. And we struggle with, are we good enough? Am I even good enough to do it? Lord, the answers are in you. Thank you so much for all you've done for us, Lord. You are a good Father. We praise your name, Lord. Amen.